Zvachim Perikei Mishnehei 5:5, and now we're going to wrap up the topic of Kadshei Kadshim when it comes to Zvachim. Here we have Zivchei Shal Meitzibur Va'ashamos. So Ashlamim in general is Kadshim Kalim, and we'll get to that in a couple of Mishnahs from now. But there is one type of Shlamim, peace offering, let's call it, which actually has Kadshei Kadshim status, and that is the special offering Shlamim that's brought on Shavuos, along with those two bread that are waved together, and that is a Shal Meitzibur, meaning that the community, like from communal funds, the Machzor Shekels essentially, are used to purchase it, and it comes for the Tzibur, so those have a status of Kadshei Kadshim, and we'll explain in a second the Mishnah therefore what. And the Ashamos. Ashamos are literally guilt offerings, and there are specifically six guilt offerings, and for six different events, and the Mishnah will now enumerate what they are, and I'll explain to you each scenario. So first we have Elohen Ashamos. These are the following cases when one brings what's called an Asham, a guilt offering. First you have the Asham Gazelos. Asham Gazelos is the Asham one brings if he owes someone else money, either he stole it, or he found it and didn't return it, or he's withheld wages, anything where a person owes someone else money, and then the victim, we'll call him, takes this guy to court, and in the Bezin, the guy swears he doesn't owe the money, lying. Later on, our little criminal wants to do tshuva, so he tries to write what's wrong, but he will, amongst other things, have to bring now an Asham Gazelos for that crime that he did. Second of all, you have the Asham Me'ilos. That is the Me'ilas, again, for misappropriation of consecrated items that belong to the Beis Hamikdash. So if a person gets something which has monetary benefit essentially from something which is hekdesh, so there's a chatas goat and he goes and gets a ride in the back of the goat or whatever the story is, or eats that goat, etc. So if it's done b'shogeg, not intending to do the isser of me'ila, then he has to replace what he used, adding a chomesh surcharge, 25%, and also bring this asham me'ilos. So again, you see, I should have emphasized, in the gazelos, Asham gazelos, you actually bring this guilt offering for a willful mazid activity, whereas the Asham Me'ilos is for only for shogeg, an inadvertent violation. Then you have the Asham Shivcha Charufa. This is a very unusual case. It's a machlokas tanaim, what the setup is, the halacha follows Rabbi Kiva. I'll explain his pshat here, which is, if you have a woman who is a slave, so she's a Shivcha Kananis, so there, a Jewish person can't marry her, and in fact, Kedushin is not tofest. You, even if you would like give a ring and say you're my wife, and she accepts it, she's not married. You can't marry an Eved. However, if this woman were emancipated, she would become a full-blown Jew. Now, if there are two people who own her together, let's say one man died and left it to two sons, or two partners bought her together, something like that, so then if she is freed by one of the two owners, she's like half free and half still a Shivcha Kananis, now a slave. Now, the half-free part of her, whatever that means, is now Jewish and could marry a regular Jew, but the part that's a slave can't. Now, there is one person that a Shivcha Kananis can essentially live with that's Jewish, and that is an Eved Ivri. If a Jewish person ends up, what it boils down to basically debtor's prison, right? He basically gets into financial trouble, let's say he steals something and can't repay it, and now to pay off his debt, he becomes like an indentured servant, like a, call it a butler, that kind of thing, a live-in worker for this person from whom he stole. So he's an Eved, meaning he's like a servant, but he's not owned. He's still a full-blown Jew in every sense of the term. And there's no difference in an Eved Ivri and a regular Jew, except that an Eved Ivri, under certain scenarios, can be essentially asked to live with the Shivcha Kananis, and they can live together as husband and wife to sort of make more children of Adam for the owner. Okay, when the Eved Ivri goes free, he doesn't go with his family. Now, that relation is permitted, which means a woman who is half free and half slave, so the only person who she could live with is a Eved Ivri, because he's a Jew, so the free part of her can marry him, and since she's also a Shivcha Kananis, the Shivcha part of her, the slave part, could live with him also, because he's an Eved Ivri. So in such a scenario, if they are living together as like sort of like husband and wife, so then she's sort of kind of like married to him in a way. Now, she's not an Eishes Ish, because remember I said Kedusha's not Tovsin. She can't really be legally halachically married in full, because the Shivcha Kananis slave part of her can't get married. But she's sort of married, okay? She's like half married, I don't know what the word is. Now, if another person would be adulterous with that woman, so it's our Evi Kanani's wife slash partner, whatever you call it, that's not full-blown adultery, okay? So therefore, there's not the usual penalty, which would be, let's say, would be capital crime. It's chenek, it's strangulation. You don't have that punishment here because she's not like fully married. She's like, so to speak, only half of her is married, whatever that means. Therefore, instead, the punishment would include the Asham Shifcha Charufa. Okay, a very unusual case. Then you have the Asham Nazir. Asham Nazir is if a person who commits being a Nazir, that means he basically says he won't become exposed to corpse tumas mace, as well as eat products from grapes, as well as cut his hair. Now, if he does get exposed to tumas mace, one or the other, he has to start again. And at the end of his starting again process, he'll also have to bring a korban, actually a couple of korbanos, and one of the korbanos he has to bring is the Asham Nazir for becoming tummy. That's besides for the chatz, etc. Okay? That's after he becomes tahor. Then you have the Asham Mitzora. When a Mitzora, someone who gets tzara'as for their antisocial behavior, gets healed, so they have to come tahor, end of the tahor process, which takes 7 days. On the 8th day, they have to bring a number of korbanos. One is an asham, that's the asham matzora here. And finally, the asham tali. And the asham tali is totally different. The asham tali, the suspending guilt offering, is brought when a person may have done an avera, for which the penalty would be a chatas, the sin offering, those one of those 43 averas, but he's not sure whether or not he actually did it. He just doesn't know. So, for example, in the refrigerator, there are two shawarmas. One is made of regular, with shuman, regular fat, and one is made of chalev. Chalev is this forbidden fat which carries a penalty of karas if one eats it intentionally, and one must bring a chatas if he ate it unintentionally. Let's say there were two shawarmas, and Reuven ate one of them, but he doesn't know which one he ate. Now they're both gone, because Shimon ate the other one. So now what is Reuven supposed to do? And Shimon the same for that matter. So the answer is, Reuven can't bring a chatas, because maybe he didn't eat the chalev. But he may be obligated to bring it, because that's serious business. He ate chalev b'shogeg. So instead, he'll bring a asham talui to prevent the consequences that would come from failing to bring a chatas. At least the asham talui suspends the consequences, okay? So that's what the asham talui is in that scenario. By the way, if later on he discovers that he did, in fact, eat from the chatas, he did, in fact, eat from the chalev, in which case he's required to bring a chatas, then he'll still have to bring a chatas after that. Okay? So those are the six ashamos. We'll just keep worthy of note here, just for a second here, is that four of them are brought with a ram, which is called an isle, a ram. That means a sheep, that's a male sheep, hence a ram, and that's at least 1 year, 1 month, and 1 day old. That's for the Asham Me'ilos, the Asham Gazelos, the Asham Shivcha Harufa, and the Asham Tali. But the asham for the nazir and the metzora comes from a keves, so that is a keves is a male sheep, but younger. Okay. Now, the procedure for all of these things is as follows: shchitasim b'tzafon, like we said in the previous cases, it has to be slaughtered in the northern portion of the azara. V'kibul daman b'kli sharis b'tzafon, and they have to have the blood received in the northern part of the Azara, into the Klisharis. V'daman tu'un shtei matanos shen arba, and like we saw with the Ola, it's applied around the Mizbeach, which means on all four walls, which means in two throwings, which means one in the northeast corner and one in the southwest corner. V'ne'echalon lifnim min'eklaim, since this kach e'kach must be eaten inside of, literally, the curtains, which is referring again to the original Mishkan, but now it's a base of Mikdash, and therefore it'd be inside the walls of the Azara. Lezichrei kohuna, to the male kohanim, meaning not their wives or families. B'chol ma'achal, they can be eaten, anyway, prepared any way you want to be prepared them. Again, this is in contrast to the Korban Pesach. Liyom v'layla ad chatzos, for 1 day, meaning the day it's shechted, and the night that follows. Midoraisa would be until Erlos HaSharach in the morning, but Midorabanan, they said just until midnight of that night, unless one overestimate the amount of time he has, and therefore it comes to Lina, and therefore it's left over to be Nosar, and therefore if one would eat it, he'd be Chayav Karis.